Is there a connection between low oil prices and the Paris attacks? From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. France and other members of the European Union have to keep their budgets and their deficits under control. But there's word today from the EU's Economics Commissioner that France would be given special dispensation to spend more to beef up security after the attacks on Friday. There's an economic force that may be contributing to the rise of ISIS, the group linked to the attacks that has been flourishing in the security voids opened up by the Syrian civil war. Oil-rich states that might do more to quash ISIS aren't so rich these days. Ian Bremmer is president and founder of the Eurasia Group, which consults businesses on international affairs and politics. Ian, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be with you, David.
Failed states in the Middle East really allowed ISIS to grow. You see, Ian, a connection between the price of crude oil these days and the ability of the surrounding countries to deal with this?
With oil under 50, the Saudis are spending about 20% of their total financial reserves on their budget this year. You know, one of the things they cut back on immediately is support for humanitarian aid. Life is already difficult for a lot of disenfranchised young men across this region. And that's getting worse when the major resource that this entire region has is half the price it was a year ago.
Because these countries could use money, if the price of oil were higher, to beef up border protections, but they also could use the money, if they had it, to do humanitarian projects, to win friends.
And also to feel more comfortable in working towards the longer-term reforms that are necessary to start diversifying their economies away from this oil.
Let's turn to Europe. What resources might shift within the EU in the wake of these attacks on Friday?
There's no question that Germany is engaging in significant stimulus as a consequence of all the refugees coming in. But nobody wants to accept these millions of people coming in. And all the governments in Europe were looking for an excuse to say, we've got to take a harder line stand. The Paris attacks really gave them one. You're going to see this with the opposition to Hollande, but you're also going to see it among leaders like Hungary's Viktor Orban. You'll see it with the new Polish government. An enormous amount of opposition to providing significant resources for bringing these refugees in place across Europe.
How far do you think it'll go? I mean, Europe has that so-called Schengen Agreement back in 1985, borderless travel between most of the EU countries. Do you think what happened in France could unravel that idea?
There's a lot of ways to say that legally you haven't gotten rid of Schengen, you're just suspending it. But ultimately, the social fabric that Europe was built on, that social fabric is ripping apart. We're going to see a much weaker Europe and a much weaker transatlantic relationship as a consequence of the backlash from these attacks.
Ian Bremmer is president and founder of Eurasia Group. We spoke to him from Manila as the Asia-Pacific Summit was wrapping up. Ian, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Numbers now. The CAC 40 stock index in Paris is up 2.4% this morning. The 100-share index in London up 1.9%. It's interesting. Yesterday when the Dow went up 237 points, 1.4%, I overheard some people upset that the stock market had the nerve to go up when the mood was so grim. The stock market indicators, of course, are not readouts on the global or national zeitgeist, even if we wish they were. Airline and travel stocks were down yesterday. Investors are worried about France's tourism industry. According to France's Hotel Trade Association, cancellations at Paris hotels are up 50%, Marketplace's Mark Garrison reports.
Beth Jenkins and her colleagues at McCabe World Travel have talked to a lot of worried clients lately.
We certainly have gotten a lot of calls from people who are planning to travel next month who are debating changing their plans.
Some canceled trips to Paris. France is the world's top tourist destination, and terrorism can hit tourism especially hard. It's something the popular travel guide creator Rick Steve thinks about a lot. He's encouraging people to visit France.
Fear is for people who don't get out very much. And the flip side of fear is understanding, and we gain understanding through travel.
In Paris, travel is big business.
People's livelihoods, people's futures, people's dreams are on the line. There's huge ramifications for small mom-and-pop businesses. I've seen it in many places as I travel. People shake their heads and wonder, why is nobody coming?
And with 3.6% of France's GDP coming directly from tourism, a lot of people will suffer if nobody comes. I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
A House committee will vote today on legislation aimed at curbing menu labeling rules. The FDA had planned to require chain restaurants and movie theaters to post calorie counts. Big pizza companies like Domino's don't like this. Marketplace's Annie Baxter has details.
A group called the American Pizza Community says the menu labeling rules will be costly to implement and confusing to consumers. Lynn Liddell chairs the group. She says at Domino's, where she's an executive, there are 34 million ways to put a pizza together with different crusts, sauces, and toppings. So posting calories or even calorie ranges on a menu board doesn't make sense.
A whole pizza, for example, can vary in calories by 3,000 calories. And so that doesn't really help you.
Liddell supports legislation that would make it acceptable to put calorie counts online only. But some critics worry pizza purveyors could bury calorie information on their websites. And Margot Wu-Tan with the Center for Science in the Public Interest says people really need information about pizza in particular because Americans eat so much of it.
And the way that most chains make it, it's got, you know, very salty white flour crust and sauce and high saturated fat cheese loaded with fatty toppings.
Wu-Tan sees efforts to curb menu labeling rules as a means of withholding information from consumers. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Beatty Jong. From studios at Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.